Ace podcast.
Jizz, if you think about it. It'll be picked up healthy jizz.
Welcome to the Healthy Jizz podcast. Oh my God.
Healthy jizz. Oh, so like I noticed something interesting. Are we recording already?
Yeah, we can
just fucking go.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, because like you know, like you don't want to like not like edit anymore. You just want to like record and go, and like you know, like sometimes like we like get all like you know, dead aired and stuff if I'm looking up something on my phone.
Uh huh.
Well, I have OK Google on my phone, so like I could just be like, and I just turned it on. I can just say OK Google, and then like who plays Spider-Man in Spider-Man 3, The Dickening, and it'll...
It's my favorite one. It really lost focus, but it really found like a new audience.
It
found
a new
something
audience.
New, which was dicks.
Yeah, a lot of dicks.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sup Nerds Podcast, and we're talking about dicks already.
Already.
But that's cool. That's what we do. Man, I've got a real good food high. I was so fucking hungry, and I was just, that's all I could think about, and we had some delicious Burger King, and now I can't think straight, so I'm going to be a little weird in this podcast.
That's,
I got like a
sick
food high.
Well, I mean, it's like noon 30, like,
yeah.
We never record this early?
Yeah, yeah.
This is probably the earliest we've ever recorded.
I mean, I've been up for a few hours. I had to go get advised today.
Oh, yeah? What did they advise you to do?
Just quit. All right. Quit while you're behind.
Sound advice, yeah. Why dig yourself deeper in debt?
That's one thing I have to worry about is I'm running out of GI Bill money, so like... Yeah. We're trying to squeeze in as much as possibly can, so he's like, well, let's hypothetically say, what if you did senior project next semester? And I was like... I don't think I'm fucking ready for this, because I'd be taking like light shade rendering and not rigging, but
like all the stuff you
need to do, right? Like if I was some sort of savant, that would be a thing that I would do. But like that sounds like insanity, because like right now I'm taking 260 and 240, and they both require storyboarding, and it's a bit of like, yeah, you're supposed to know the perspectives and the shot types and bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if I had taken this last semester storyboarding, that is, because it kind of flows right into it. But you know, it's kind of like, yeah, it would have been nice, but it's not required. But like,
yeah, I will say that one thing that is nice about like film is that it's pretty easy to map out what you need to know before you do the next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when you're in like a school environment and they start to fuck with that, it gets really odd.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, one thing that like, because that's kind of how I am too, is like I don't work well whenever I have to break down what the fuck I'm doing. It's just I have an image in my head, and I just want to get it out. But one thing that there's a few things that hinder that, but they want you to do them anyway, and there's a few things that help, like storyboarding does help to if you know what video you're gonna make. And then, but I mean, honestly, like, okay, so the example that we're doing today, what I have to do on Thursday, is we have to list all the assets that we need, which I think is really good. Like, it's not one of those, like, bullet shit boring exercises that just is convoluted and garbage. It's like, okay, well, what do I need to draw? Okay, I need to draw one man and then a lady. And then, you know, you're just listing out all the things so that you know exactly what you have to draw.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing, and it's not going to take a long time. I just hate it when they give you assignments that are like, this is going to take longer than the actual project, and it's hard and stupid and convoluted, and here, go nuts. That bugs the shit out of me.
You know, I get that they want to teach you how to plan, and that's what storyboarding is.
I get why. Like, because when you and I do stuff, sorry to interrupt, but you and I do stuff, we come from a background of I am knowledgeable in art, so I know exactly, but I listen to the other kids tell me what their story, you know, because they have to get up there, and I'm like, oh, this is for them.
Yeah.
Because they get up there and they're like, and then I guess, like, you know, like, you know, like,
oh,
that's
yeah,
that's the whole lot of that. Yeah. You know, like, you know, I don't think you fucking know what you're, yeah, you know, and not to talk shit about them, they're kids, they're like fucking 18. But
my favorite thing is when people have to like talk about their story or the film that they want to do, and instead of talking about the film or their project, they talk about why they want to do this particular project this way. And I'm like, oh, you have no fucking idea what you're going to do. You are just throwing. You're like, well, all right. So my project is about this guy, because, okay, hold on. Well, you see that, like, right now, like, I'm going through a lot of really difficult stuff in my life, and you're just like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah.
You are just lost.
Which
you are
is fine. I have a lot of really good ideas for stuff. Like we were talking about a couple weeks ago about I took the people talking shit about me in front of, behind my back at the in the class, and I'm basically talking shit about depressed people right in front of me. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to do that. But I immediately, like, I could tell you exactly beat by beat. Okay, so you're looking at the T-Rex, right, from End of Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. And then you cut to a T-Rex, and he's holding his hand, and everyone, or the teacher's like, oh, well, what did everybody think about the class? Or what about everybody think about the film? And then the T-Rex is raising his little shitty arms. It's like, I really liked it, and I really related, you know, like, I have an exact idea of the dialogue, mm-hmm. the shots, everything that I want to do. And, you know, yeah, that's me dealing with it. But, I, you know, I don't start out with, well, you see, you know, yeah. like, I've been going yeah. through this shit. And it's like, no, tell the story by showing how you feel, you know, yeah. show how you feel. Don't tell us how, you know, show, don't tell.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I mean, like, learning how to storyboard and all this, like, other planning stuff for, like, people who are not, like, super creative or who haven't been doing it for a long time, I think is really necessary.
Yeah, some people just don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, they don't know how to, like, they know what they want the end to look like, mm-hmm. but they don't know those first baby steps where they can start figuring out exactly what they need and who they need and, like, what equipment they need and all that yeah. sort of stuff. Storyboarding is where all that comes
There's
from.
There's one girl in our class, and she's really cool, and I
she's really cool, and, like, and her hair's really pretty.
And she's really...
She yeah. smells really nice.
I follow her home sometimes. no, she...
She has really nice furniture.
She doesn't know I'm there. She's really ballsy. She's the ballsiest person I've met in this course because she has very little artistic talent going into it. Mm-hmm. Like, she just was like, I just want to do animation, and, like, this is my desire, and I'm not good at drawing, but I want to do it anyway. I want to give it a go.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, her early... Like, it's crazy, like, watching somebody go from zero, and I mean, like, pretty bad. Like, and yeah. I'm not trying to talk shit because she's a million times better now than yeah. she was at the beginning of the semester, and it's really cool because she's like a sponge absorbing all this mm-hmm. good in, and because our teacher is fucking amazing, is a really smart, good teacher, and she's just like absorbing, and, you know, because, like, I've had art classes where people put their opinion in,
yeah,
and they're like, this is law, my opinion is law.
Yeah.
This teacher will be like, this is one person's opinion, this is one person's opinion, this is what I do, I really like this, I can show you all about this because this is what I do and what I'm used to, mm-hmm. but here are the other options. Yeah. And he's really good like that. So, and he won't be a dick about it if you're like, hey, man, I'm not good at doing it this way, can I do it? And he's like, yeah, that's, of course, it looks good, so go with that.
Nice.
But, yeah, this...
Nice.
Let's check in my class. Yeah, she's just like a sponge absorbing all this good information. I keep miming the sponging action.
Yeah, the
action,
sponging action. And so is it like for film or is it for animation?
It's for animation. I don't like anybody in the film department.
Oh, yeah, I don't
except
blame
the teachers are pretty all right. But
yeah, I think the film students are at least, yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know. Like,
we've been like bitching and complaining about, oh, hi, Mom.
Film students.
I will talk to Mom later.
Tell Mom hi.
Yeah. My mom has like a crazy knack for calling me when I'm
whenever
recording.
We're podcasting.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Let me ask you a weird question. So like in the film department, like talking about like stories and all that sort of crazy stuff, how many rape stories, like how many like things concerning rape have you heard?
So far zero, but I'm avoiding those classes. I know what you're talking
right,
about.
Yeah.
Like you can elaborate, but our friend, I asked her, I was trying to think of his name. I was like, it's the same name as you, dumbass, Matt or Aster. Yeah, did he ever tell you the murder, rape, the end story?
No.
So not to get too on the topic of rape, but it happens a lot when you get into like people who don't understand how writing is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. They just go for, well, I want to be extreme.
Yeah, they want to be hard-hitting.
And, yeah, exactly. They want to be hard-hitting, and they want to... And murder isn't a big deal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you write it very graphically, and you can't write it graphically unless you've seen it or fucking kill a guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so people go with the other, ooh, what's taboo? Well, murder, rape is taboo, so yeah. People write about rape. But yeah, Aster was, he's a, what was he, like some sort of writing major or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah, English. Like
English, some sort of English.
Yeah, creative writing and stuff like that.
Some major like that, and he graduated recently, but he, at one point, he had to grade somebody else's paper, and the, it was just like some lady going through her day, and she washes the dishes and she does the things, and then, you know, it like doesn't really build, and then murder, rape, the end. Like somebody breaks into her house, rapes her and murders her, and the end. And he's like, you got to have some kind of foreshadow. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know?
Yeah, I remember like when I was a theater major and I was taking like writing classes then, like it was just like always about rape, and like it really it bugged me because like to me it's a serious subject, and like these people were just like writing it just because they knew
that it would get a rise,
it would get some sort of emotional response regardless of what that emotional response is going to be. It's automatically going to get one. So I had quit, I was already out of college, and a friend of mine was taking theater, Blue, and she was writing a script, and she was like, hey, can you proofread this for me? And I was like,
it's just the word rape 85 times.
Yeah, and I was just like, I like read it. And basically, it was just supposed to be a 5-minute scene, two people. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was a 5-minute long rape scene. And I was just like, you can't do this. Like, it's, like, as like, you're supposed to write a 5-minute scene. There's no plot except for rape. It feels weird because we're saying that word a lot. But like, I was just like, you can't do that. Like, it's just, it's like low hanging fruit for trying to listen to emotional response. And it just drives me fucking insane.
I don't think there's as much of that because, well, like when you went to school, it was what, early
2000s? Yeah, early
2000s. Yeah. I don't think rape was as much of a huge taboo as it is. Like now it is the biggest taboo. Rape and sexism are the two biggest taboos. Yeah. So yeah, like I don't think that it's a thing that people do anymore. Like really, like nobody. I mean, I don't know. It's really weird. Like you have the internet has its idea of what millennials are, and then I hang out with millennials all day, and I'm like, nobody's like that.
Yeah,
there's a couple assholes, but nobody's like. And you know, the biggest assholes in the class are always like the old motherfuckers. You know, and
I
whatever.
Think, like to me, like the best, and this is, I guess, this is for our listeners to sort of give like our listeners like, if you want to actually like sort of figure out exactly what I'm talking about, like, suicide, for example, is also another sort of taboo sort of thing that, like, at least during my day, didn't get talked about a lot, like in the whole like writing scene, but. Now that, like, you know, emos are sort of growing up a little bit and trying to get careers, maybe that's becoming a thing. But anyway, like, if you read, like, a suicide, like, play or, like, a screen or, like, a 5-minute scene written by, like, some fucking student. But then, like, if you read the play Night Mother, which is a whole play.
I like the title. It sounds
about
cool.
Suicide. Mm. And the emotional response that you get from a play that is subtle and... you know, really delves into that subject. It's not just about like, oh, this person's just gonna kill themselves, and that's gonna be all. Look how sad everybody is, because I've been in that fucking play too. But like, Night Mother, like, it's just a very honest, in depth look into suicide. And so, like, if you really want to see the difference between like someone who's just trying to force an emotional response and someone who's really sort of interested in a subject. You know, read Night Mother.
Right. And I think that that's, I mean, it's the same with any sort of writing, is they say, write what you know. And that's absolutely true.
I know suicide. I've committed suicide like, so many times.
Well, I mean, you know, you know what it's like to be depressed. And,
yeah.
But I think that that's the issue that people have, is you can write, like Neil Gaiman is a great example of a writer who does just insane amounts of research, so he is able to write on what he doesn't know, because he essentially just, like, you know, like he wrote All About America, you know, and American Gods by visiting all these places and
then writing about it.
So it's like, do your research, and it becomes insanely easier to,
because what is it, in American Gods there's like a scene where he's in like fucking Montana or something, like weird shit, and he goes to like that weird like touristy trap place.
It's so great because the way he describes it, you don't have to go to that specific one. But if you've driven around America a lot and you stop at those little touristy kitschy places, like Tinkertown. Have you ever been to Tinkertown up in Albuquerque?
No.
Oh, dude, it's, have you heard of it?
No, not even.
It's got all these little, I mean, it's so cool. It's basically like this guy collected a bunch of wooden figurines and toys and just shit. Like, kind of garbage, but he puts them in scenes and dioramas.
Oh, that's cool. I love dioramas.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, the whole, like, Tinkertown is nuts, dude. It's, like, it's Yeah, but it's like that. It's like all this like kitschy weird stuff, and just built a house essentially out of and around. Like, there's just a boat. I mean, it's like a museum of oddities is like kind of what it is. It's really shit. It's exactly like that scene. It's just like this crazy thing that only in America would you ever see. So you're like, oh, Neil Gaiman has been to one of these weird places.
That's what I liked when I was reading American Gods, is that like that place in the book is like a real actual place that Neil Gaiman went to and just sort of was like, I have to put this in a book. So I think, Neil Gaiman also recently just put out a book of Norse mythology. Like,
really? Neil Gaiman wrote on Norse mythology? Get the fuck out of town. No, I'm just kidding, because that's like all he writes about.
No, but I mean, like, no, he just created a book. I think I just saw it. It's like brand new. Like,
I believe it. I haven't
just
seen
about
it.
Like, it's almost almost like a real nonfiction look at Norse mythology.
Oh, so it's like a almost like a historical thing.
Yeah,
all right,
it's
cool.
Really, I haven't read it, but I saw it at Barnes and Noble the other day, and I thumbed through it. It was in their like news section.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, I scoffed at Neil Gaiman, but he's probably my favorite author. So, but. Yeah, so that was an interesting intro. How was your week, Josh?
That was a weird intro.
No, it was great.
It was a really long rant.
Crazy.
My week has been really fucking boring because my truck is still broke.
That sucks. I heard it was some gaskets or head gaskets.
Head gaskets. So, I texted the mechanic, and he said that he put water in the radiator, and it went straight into the oil pan.
Oh, no.
That's not good. Head gaskets are fixable.
Yeah.
But they can be quite expensive, so I'm just sort of waiting to hear
how much it's gonna turn out to.
Yeah.
How's your I don't know if we want to talk about this on the podcast, but is your selling stuff going well? Or
yeah, my selling stuff is actually going phenomenally well. Like because like my truck is broke and it's gonna be so expensive to fix, and we gotta move soon. I'm selling all of my shit, like all of my weird collection of nerd stuff. the incredibly weird and eclectic group of items that I own are being sold piece by piece. Like, I actually really enjoy it because there's something very therapeutic about it.
It's really good. I think you and I have talked about this off podcast, but like every few years I'm actually kind of hoarding it right now, but I like to fill my area with I like to fill my area with stuff, and I don't plan on moving until I'm done with college. But I used to, especially when I was like on the go a lot and moving from place to place, I was like, okay, I need like a bag and a guitar and some stuff, and I don't need all this other shit. And it's so great just to be like, why the fuck do I have this? Throw this shit out, give it away, do something.
But I am very much every six months I go through, I sort of do a general sweep through my belongings, and I get rid of as much of it as I can. But now I'm getting rid of stuff that I wouldn't have gotten rid of normally. Like, a lot of my books, I got rid of almost all of my books. I'm getting rid of my collection of gaming books, except the ones that I want to run or are currently playing. So I'm just getting rid of fucking everything.
Yeah.
And I initially was going to do, like, Craigslist and that sort of thing, but I decided that I would rather give my friends the opportunity to have some of the things that I own that they might want that they wouldn't necessarily have the chance to get.
I think it's a real smart idea. I think it's a good way to do it.
So, I mean, and a lot of my friends have been, like, super cool, you know, like, because I lowball the shit out of my stuff. Like, there are people who are like, why are you selling your shit so low? It's like, well, I desperately need money, and I'd rather have my friends have it for cheap. But, like, there's been a few times where they're, like, I've gone to a friend, I'm like, here, I want, like, $10 for this, and they're like, I'm gonna give you 20.
It's worth more than that.
So there's been a couple of times where I've gotten more than what I've asked for. So the money situation is okay. Like, it's kind of hard to judge without like knowing exactly how much it's going to be to fix my fucking truck. But
Becca got a job too, right?
Becca just got a job. She had her first day yesterday. So I mean, things are looking up, and we know exactly where we want to move. So it's just a matter of time at this
point.
The
moon.
The what?
The moon.
Yes, we want to move to the moon.
It was a real dumb joke. It sounded bad. It tasted bad in my mouth.
I'm glad.
I don't like that joke.
The moon. How was your week, Spike? I mean, we've kind of talked about like your week a little bit.
Let's see. Oh, I had the craziest thing happen the other day. It's so hard for me to get into working out. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just... I, I'm so fucking tired and like all the time, like doing late hours, like working on projects and shit. So I'm just fucking tired all the time and it's hard to work out. But the other day I was walking up and down Roadrunner and, which is a street in case you're not from here.
No, he was walking on a bird.
Yeah, I was walking on a bird. New Mexico's weird. The kooky land where cocopellis rain from the sky and you walk on the back of a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the street Roadrunner and some guy, like, he's driving by and he's got one of those like super low to the ground fucking cars, like
a low rider.
Yeah. No, like a
just a car that's really low to the ground.
They're referred to as rice burners. I don't know if that's a racist term.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
But
I gotcha.
The souped up, like the Japanese style souped up fucking car things, you know. But whatever. So he's driving one of those and his front right tire just comes off and is rolling down the road.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, I want to know what the fuck this guy's story was, because I was like, oh, shit. And then he drives off, and I'm like, you know how Roadrunner is? It doesn't have a lot of places to turn in.
Yeah.
So he kept driving for a bit, and I didn't think anything of it, because I was like, okay, well, you know, like, he doesn't know how bad it is. He's inside his car. Mm-hmm. He's just going to drive someplace and pull over and blah, blah, blah. And then a little while later, I just hear like a... He's coming up Roadrunner, like, the other way. Like 4 or 5 times, dude. It was so crazy.
What?
Like, just driving up and down Roadrunner with a clear flat. And you could see, like, because the tire was off.
Yeah.
It was just the rim.
Yeah,
on the rim, making the worst, loudest noise. And it smelled like just burning, like, rubber. But, like, the sort of burning tar, I guess, because it was the road. And you could see his car was, like, tilted to the side. And I'm, like, waving at him. And I'm, like, dude.
The fuck?
How do you not know that your shit's fucked up? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is weird.
I was contemplating calling the non-emergent. Like, I looked up the non-emergency, like, cops number.
Right.
Like, because I was like, something's wrong with, like, this is not normal. This is not a thing that somebody would do. So maybe, I don't know, I was, like, trying to rationalize, like, maybe it's stolen or maybe it's his...
Like exes or something?
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Like, I couldn't see if it was a guy or a girl. I think it was a guy because it's tinted windows and stuff. I could see a figure, but... And I think it was male, but whatever. But I was like, maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's his girlfriend's car and he's just like, fuck this chick. I'm going to slash the tires and drive around on it or whatever. Or, you know, vice versa. Maybe it's a girl who's like, fuck this guy. He likes his car more than me, you know, and I'm going to fuck it up. But I don't know. Or maybe he's just a fucking idiot or that's like insane. Having a... mental breakdown or some shit. I don't know. Yeah, so that was one thing that happened. What else happened? Just mostly garbage, man. I had a group project due on Friday again, and fucking this time it's the same group but a different project, and this time a different person was waiting till the last fucking second to turn their shit in, and that's always frustrating. Fuck group projects. I fucking hate them. But...
yeah, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, nothing really. Just working on shit, doing shit. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret, Josh. Are you judging ANS?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I hope that Ben doesn't listen to this beforehand. I want to enter some real entries. Mm-hmm. For those who may not know, ANS is an AmpGuard arts and sciences competition. So paintings,
clothes.
Yeah. You enter stuff that you create. So there's a bunch of different categories. One of them is written. And I want to enter a D&D character sheet. I want to enter, what else was there? Monster garb. I just want to enter a coat hanger with a thing that says ghost garb. Fighting garb. I want to enter battle babe garb.
Okay.
So nothing.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
another
nothing.
Blank coat hanger.
You should just make a belt.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I want to do that. Like, enter a bunch of bullshit entries and see if they pass.
Right.
That's funny. That's just a funny joke.
I would laugh. I would find it interesting.
I know, right? Like, I want to see how far I can get into the arts and science competition without actually entering anything. Like, so for kit, like, it's supposed to be like models or like needlework things, but I want to enter like Legos.
Yeah, and I think you could actually probably get away with Legos. Actually,
it is a kit.
Could do that. Yeah.
So that's my week. I'm making stupid jokes and doing stupid things. But.
So last episode, we had James on, and we talked a lot about Mass Effect 4. Mm-hmm. So this week, since I've been stuck at home mostly because I don't have a vehicle, I've been playing a shit ton of Mass Effect 4.
Nice.
And I don't know what the big deal is. Like, all the hate that this game is getting, besides just, like, the sort of hate-mongering trend that seems to follow everything right now, is the beginning boring? I don't really think so, compared to, like, other Mass Effect games. To me, all Mass Effect beginnings are boring. So, yeah, to me, it's just par for the course.
Mass Effect 2 is kind of fucking boring, the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know,
The story is good. The gameplay is good. The battles are way more involved because you can now jump and like do a dash move.
Yeah, and you can get jetpacks and shit too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So you get to like explore the space way more. So like there was like I was in a fight last night and I was surrounded. Like I was getting fucked up. So, like, I just jumped jetting and dashed out of the area.
Peace, bitches.
And, like, just, like, hid. And I'm an infiltrator, so I have stealth cloak. So I, like, went invisible and just healed up a little bit, then went right back into the fight. It's way more fun.
So how would you rate compared... Let's talk about just gameplay, like, just actual fighting and shit like that. How would you rate that compared to the other Mass Effects?
It's better.
Better?
It's improved, yeah.
Yeah, I tend
and the
to...
Way Pat, and the way your powers work are better, too.
I tend to agree with you. I think that, like, we were talking about it in the car on the ride over here. I think, like, gameplay should be number one.
Exactly,
like, does it have fun gameplay? Well, it's a fucking video game, so it should have fun gameplay. Because there's plenty of games where they'll have, like, oh, look at this badass, like, cinematic cutscene. Like, I think Final Fantasy VII falls into that category, where it's just like, look at what we can do with all these awesome graphics. And it's like... Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I had tons of fun playing Final Fantasy VII at the time because it was the only game in town, you know? But, like, the gameplay, go back and play that game. It fucking sucks. It's boring. Yeah. It's so fucking boring playing any of those old games. It's, like, garbage. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I agree that the gameplay, if gameplay is cool, that's all. And, you know, yeah, it's a AAA studio, so it sucks that it's not, has better, like, cinematics. But if it's fun gameplay, then fucking who cares?
And like, just like the way like going to a planet and exploring the planet works is so much better than the other games. Because like before, you would go and scan a planet for resources. Maybe there was something interesting on the planet, like a mission that you can go do that would take like 30, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, like you just go to a fucking planet, you get into your car, you drive around, you do a shit ton of missions that are really quick. As opposed to one mission that takes really long, you have a bunch of missions that are really fast. Mining is super quick in this game. You just like you just drive over an area that has high resources. You hit a button. You launch a probe. And so you don't really even have to stop very much to resource on your way from one quest to another.
Yeah,
it's a lot
real good.
It's a lot of fun. Just fuck. I've been on this. I'm only on like second, third planet or some shit like that. And I'm having a shit ton of fun just driving around and like there's a bunch of like little settlements. You have basically two enemies. There's like the old remnant people, which are just like robots, and then you have the Ket, which are like the modern. This game's bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you'll just be driving around and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're coming up on an area and there are Ket there. And you can stop and fight him if you want the XP and loot, or you can just fuck around and go to the next point.
I've heard that the quests are pretty relevant to what you're doing too.
Yes.
Okay. That's
I mean, that's my one complaint. Well, I have a couple of complaints. One of my complaints is that there's a lot of micromanaging bullshit. You know, you have like resource, you have research and development. Then you have, like, your planet viability, the cluster's viability. You have your powers, your skills, your profiles, which I don't like. I mean, there's just a bunch of shit that you can do in this game. And everything you do sort of just builds and is sort of collected against with each other. So that you're all working. Everything you do is for the same goal. So I really love that about the game. The animation is like the it's not even like the combat animation, which is fantastic. It's like when you're sitting around in conversations, mm-hmm. that's when the game starts to get a little...
does not shine at that point.
Does not at all. Like a lot of, like the best way I've heard to sort of describe it is that all the characters just look bored as fuck. Like they just like, they walk, they're like, hey, we're in this new galaxy and there's new people and new things. We're surrounded by new. And they're just like, I guess.
Hey, look, fucking, a new creature.
Hey, man, we're on this planet? I mean, whatever. So, like, they just look
maybe
bored.
Maybe it's trying to appeal to how they think millennials are.
They're just bored.
Whatever, man. I don't care about noobs. Like, who gives a fuck?
The two biggest complaints about the animation that I have, really, though, is, like, the eyes.
Yeah, I think that is a definite. Because, like, yeah. I've seen the kooky eyeness. Like,
it's so weird.
Yeah, like, number one problem is their eyes are wrong. Mm-hmm. Like they don't yeah. set right, you know, like a normal eye. Like that's the eye of an insane person, literally. But yeah, if you have bug eyes all the time, that means you like tend towards like sociopath tendencies. Wow. Or like people with buggy eyes like that, which I don't know. I find it kind of cute, but whatever. I'm not okay. But yeah, like I get the complaints, and if you fucking hate Mass Effect, then like that's fine. Like
yeah.
I think that it's a little bit overboard. I think just the hate train gets it going, yeah. man.
Well, like I was watching James play the other day, and he was in a conversation with people, and all of a sudden his character just starts looking around the room. His head's not moving, but there is something in the doorway or something that he is super interested
just
in.
Just like shifty eyed.
Yeah, like every once in a while your character would just start looking at shit off screen. Uh-huh. And you're like, what the fuck is so interesting? I would love to do a let's play of it with you just because like
That'd
I think it's
fun.
So fucking funny how the eyes just all of a sudden are just like looking in weird directions.
We should
also everyone walks like C-3PO.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Everyone sort of waddles, and their arms are always at an angle at their side, and they just sort of waddle around. It's so dumb. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, it's just, like, the casual shit.
Not the
that
Mass
they
Effect
did
you're
not.
For.
They spent all of their time on the story, on the worlds, on the combat, and they were just like, eh, we'll just phone in the rest of it. But to me, it's pretty par for the course for a Mass Effect game. I mean, I'm complaining a lot about it, but I really enjoy the game. Like, I really want to get this podcast so I can done so I can go home and
play
fucking
Mass Effect
4. It's a good game.
We should
I suggest go get it.
Yeah, we could do a Let's Play or we could do some streaming of it or something.
Yeah,
I want to
some streaming.
So I've been playing some Crowfall, and like they've made a few changes that are improvements and shit like that. Mm. Like I just got my Eternal Kingdom, which
Ooh.
Is essentially like your home you get to build. But they just didn't give me, like, so I'm supposed to have parcels of land, and I'm supposed to have a bunch of them, because I paid a little extra,
mm-hmm.
but, like, they only give you two, and it's like, I can't really, and you can't build up and down yet, or anything like that.
Gotcha.
So I don't see how this game is coming out this year. It's not.
Yeah.
If it comes down to it, I'm going to tell them, please don't release this yet. I want your game to be successful, because mm-hmm. I like it, and I like the idea of it. If you release like this, it's garbage, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they've still got, like, months. And, you know, and on the plus side, like, each week is... Or, like, each, like, 2 or 3 weeks is something new.
Right.
But it's just, like, such small intervals. Like, you know how, like, Blizzard will do patches that'll be like, look at this, all this shit that we implemented. And then it's like, oh, look at all this stuff I get to play around with. That's awesome. Like, but that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
Like, with Crowfall, it's like... It happens often, but there's just not much to it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's cool, but at some point, I think we should do some streaming of that. I think that'd be cool.
I just want to do, like, streaming, period. And, I mean, I'll probably have to wait until, like, I get into my new place.
Yeah.
But, like, I would love to do streaming because, I have nothing but time.
Yeah.
That's if I have an excess of anything, it's time because I can't work and... I just kind of sit at home all day.
Just beat the shit out of your day. You could stream masturbation.
Well, I mean, yeah. Not on Twitch. But
right. They're actually kind of not lenient with, like... So you can't do, like, pornographic stuff. I know that.
Yeah,
but you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah.
You can't technically do that on YouTube either. But are you, like... Can you not cuss on there? Is that, like, a rule?
Oh, no.
Or?
People fucking cuss all
okay.
the time on Twitch and stuff.
I knew
like
that. Their restrictions were a little higher than on YouTube, but I don't know exactly where they stand. But
yeah, I think, like you can cuss and you know, you can make really offensive humor. I mean, because that's, like, what, like, the big Twitchers do anyway. Like,
right. You can't be popular without cussing.
Yeah. Like, there's just like a bunch of like 15, 16 year old kids on there playing Hearthstone, and they're just like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking back about the time that we had a bunch of kids watching our shit on YouTube, and I was like, man, yeah, this is not for kids. And I'm like, this is that YouTube is for kids, really. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I watch it too. I mean, it's for everybody. And these, but you know, mm-hmm. the majority of like people who watch Let's Plays are younger people.
Yeah,
they're going to watch it anyway. It's yeah. not like, and I was like, you know, it's not like they ever stop you whenever you're creating an account and be like, now go get your mom and have her type right, in the yeah. thing. No, it's like, no, yeah. you just make a kids know how to make an email account. They know yeah, how they to know do how all to, shit.
They know how to accept terms and services.
Yeah, you click the button, you put the X, you type in the little code that's a picture of a stop sign or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah, fine. It's easy. Easy peasy. Yeah.
I am a human.
You Pornhub, here I come.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so this might be TMI, but Pornhub did a funny because so last year they did Corn Hub on April Fools, where you type it in and every video is of corn.
Like actual corn or corn involved in the porn?
Just actual corn. Oh, like okay. Just photos of corn, images of corn. So this year they topped it. So the warning, I'm talking about Pornhub, so you probably know where this is going. So if it's too much information, then tune out now, but no talk about me touching my dick. So usually I wake up first thing in the morning, I'm tired, and I just, you know, got to release the poison, right?
Yeah, yeah, you got to get it out.
So, you know, I go in and type in, you know, like Pornhub, and it's like sharing. Okay, we have just shared that you watched this video on your Facebook account. And, you know, like morning, like, you know, it's nothing like. I would have actually, like, I would not have been happy about it, but I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, it wasn't anything like crazy yeah, weird, yeah. but it was just, you know, fucking porn. But I was like, oh, you got me. Wow. Good old Pornhub.
That's so, pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the Game Grumps April Fool's stuff?
No.
Oh, so they did this video where they're like, Aaron Hansen was like talking, it's sort of like an Apple technology release video. It was like, here at Game Grumps, we feel that blah, blah, blah. It's like, we're going to simplify everything about Game Grumps. We're going to reinvent ourselves. And so basically they released two like gameplays that day that was just like a white screen with like gray clouds that just sort of, it just went through like maybe like a 20-second loop for yeah. the whole video. And it was just like somebody in the background going, jump, jump. Well, Mario, funny, ha.
Yeah, just breaking down what the idea is. Yeah. Man,
they did two full-length videos of that, and I watched them all because I was stoned as fuck.
They're like, jump, that's hilarious. That's a great joke. I get that. Yeah. That's like, yeah, man, when people try to break down humor and be like, this is why there's fucking, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that yeah, sentence at all, so we're going to change the subject. Great. Back to my dick.
Oh, yeah, your penis.
For a couple okay. hours. Actually, I think we're probably good enough to call it. You got anything else you got to talk about?
It feels like there was, like, some movie news coming up, but I don't really.
Did I tell you I watched the Passengers?
The Chris Pratt,
yeah,
J-Lo and Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt.
J-Lo plays Jennifer Lawrence in this movie, though.
I liked it up until the end.
Yeah, there are definitely things I didn't like about it. Here's how I would have changed this movie. I think it would have been better had Chris Pratt woke. It's spoilers. I think it would have been better if Chris Pratt had woken up and it's like 10 years until his destination.
Right.
Because if you're just like, okay, well, he's dying and then he's reserving his, well, okay, guess I'm fucking dying. Like, whatever. If he would have mm-hmm. had to just survive, and if J-Lo, Jennifer Lawrence, had also woken up later, then I think that would have been a better story. Because I think that Chris Pratt playing sort of a bad, like, mm-hmm. villainous, I mean, he's not villainous, but he is.
He's an asshole.
And yeah. he's never played that before. He's always yeah. played the same fucking character. He's played mm-hmm. Andy Dwyer or someone pretending to be
yeah.
Andy Dwyer. But I don't know. Well, it's
like,
okay.
It's sort of like when Lawrence Fishburne shows up.
Yeah.
Like that Deus Machina that was so bad. Like, oh shit, we need somebody who can tell them what they need to do. Oh, we're going
to
wake this guy up for like 10 minutes and he's going to die. Like,
hey, how you doing? I'm dying. Yeah. Go push the button.
Yeah, because like when he shows up and he figures out that like Chris Pratt woke up Jennifer Lawrence, and he was like, how long were you alone? And Chris Pratt was like,
a year and a half.
And he was like, Lawrence Fishburne was like, all right, but damn. I was just like, yeah, I mean, that's probably the best way to describe it. Like, I thought it was a good movie until the end when, like, they all of a sudden they're like in love, even though, like, Chris Pratt just like completely fucked over Jennifer Lawrence's whole life, essentially.
Yeah. Although, yeah, it was good that, you know, they both stayed there. But all okay. So one thing, they find out that the med bay can act as a suspension thing.
Yes.
Every part has a goddamn backup part.
Yeah, exactly.
And they state that in the fucking
movie. Over and over and over.
So many times. And I get that they don't have the process to do the putting them under. So if you haven't watched it and you're still listening, at the end, Chris Pratt breaks out of suspended animation. It turns out he can't go back in because they put injections, they do treatments to him. It's like, it's a suspension chamber, but they can't do the treatment on the ship, so he's fucked. Towards the end of the movie, spoilers, he goes into a little medical thing. They find out that the, like, medical scanner can function because they get Lawrence Fishburne's code, and they can essentially create a or they can use that as a suspended animation chamber. But in the movie, like, what we're bitching about is they establish that every part has a backup part, so they could literally spend a couple years if they need to building a fucking backup thing, you know?
Yeah,
it's bullshit, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it was really bad up until the ending.
Yeah. Really good up until
the ending. I watched Arrival.
I watched that too. Did we not talk about that?
We did talk about it on the podcast. I loved that movie.
You know, I'm critical of all movies. You know I'll love a movie and be very critical of it. Yeah. But I mean, I just didn't get as into it as I thought I would be, I guess, is the best way of putting it. But
I watched, and it might be the copy I watched. Because let's just say I did not watch an official legal print of that movie. I watched the copy.
Josh,
I watched,
don't say such things.
Was a
we'll get in trouble
for awards consideration, right? So it was a copy that they gave out to people to be like, "Hey, consider us for awards." And Arrival, they didn't really push for any of like the acting awards or anything like that. They pushed the technical awards.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure they knew that that's what they were going to win. So, like, our copy, the visuals wasn't great. It was, I would say, less than, like, a standard resolution. But the sound quality was astounding.
It's awesome.
So you had this sort of slightly blurry, like, sort of slightly out of focus look to the whole movie. But the sound quality was just amazing. And you can hear all the background noise. So it really added to the overall like tension throughout the whole film. I enjoyed the shit out of it, and it passed the talking test too, because me, James, and Charlie watched the movie together, and we hardly talked through the whole thing. Like, we were just like, James and I especially, we're just like glued to the couch. We watched it from beginning to end and hardly talked at all. We were just really into it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It would, like, I think we said last time that it was the best of that type of, hey, there's aliens, we can't figure out what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like that other one where she listens to, I don't remember what that movie is, but there's other movies like that. And I think it's better than those movies.
Oh, it is.
But yeah, I think that I just don't like those type of movies. I think that I'll like them, but I don't actually like them. So I just want to watch them go on zany adventures afterwards.
Well, because that's what I said. Like, if they were, I described it as if they were to make a movie about Mass Effect, where it's the humans in the solar system and they find, one of the what are they called? The pew-pew.
oh, you know, pew-pew.
You know the thing in space that lets them go far?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called.
Whatever.
Is it a gate in this
gate
one?
Or something like that, whatever. Like, if they find that at the edge of their solar system, and they're just fascinated with it, the whole movie, they don't know what the fuck it does, it's there. And if at the end of the movie they're like, oh, if we, you know, if we spend a couple hundred years figuring out how to use this thing, we can shoot ourselves into space with it.
Mm-hmm.
End of movie.
Yeah.
That's Arrival. They're basically like, what the fuck are these aliens going to hear to attack us or whatever? And then they're like, oh, no, it's this other thing that will help us in like 3,000 years. Sweet!
I think that movie, I would have preferred a little bit more explanation as to, because at the end or towards the midpoint, they're like, well, we're going to give you a tool and then you're going to help us later. And I'm like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. That's like hey, dog, I'm going to teach you how to not be a dog.
It kind of makes sense when like you sort of look at how like time is not linear for them and sort of how it ends up like her being able to like experience the future.
No, I get that part. I just don't get why the aliens need us.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's the thing. Like that's the question, right, that it raises is like, what is it that they need our help with? Like, there needs to be an Arrival 2. Or they need not call it Arrival 2. They need to call it, like, another simple
Guardians
one word.
Of the Galaxy. Yeah.
I also really liked the design of the aliens. It was really super simple.
Yeah, it
but
was
also
cool.
Very, like, actual alien. And the noise that the aliens made, like how they I really liked
Star Trek
it. It sounded 4. So cool. It sounded so good. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I think that, like I said, I think that movie is just not, because I seriously want to go in. I think a book like that would be good, where it's like, you know, the first book in the series is the arrival of the aliens, and then the next book is like, okay, here's how we're working into what we actually want with you fucking shitty humans. And then the last one is the resolution of what, you know, I think, in book form, I think I would like it better, but kind of like Ender's Game. That's kind of, actually, fuck that. Yeah. Ender's Game. The first movie is like the arrival, but the aliens are killing them, or more so they're killing the aliens. Spoilers. And then the second one is like, oh shit, we killed a species. My bee. Well, that's good. Yeah. Ender's Game. Made the connection. Glad we're there.
All right, bye, nerds.
Yeah, bye, nerds.
Ace Podcast.